Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live. And boy, do we have a great show for you today.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, there's lots of things going on in the good old USA. And today we're going to have a very special guest coming up soon in Authors and Experts. And his name is Bert Sarkinen. And that's spelled B-E-R-T and then capital S-A-R-K-K-I-N-E-N. And he wrote a great book. And it's an unusual book, but and it's timely. And it says that when Bert Sarkinen was 16, he quit his job as a farmhand and went to work for his father as a framing apprentice. This golden opportunity gave him the foundation to become a trailblazer in the hybrid timber framing industry. And we really haven't thought about hybrid timber framing or the industry, so this is going to be really intriguing because of what is happening today in the USA and around the world where people are locked down in their homes and working from home and going to school from home. And it's a very important time when the home is comfortable for everybody. Bert Sarkinen was fascinated with the way people tick. Sarkinen discovered that he could match people to the right timber framing options by understanding their personalities. Ultimately, when their wants and needs are properly analyzed, it results in a personalized timber framing experience that exceeds your expectations. I'll tell you a little bit more about Bert Sarkinen in just a moment when we enter into the world of authors and experts. And on part two, we will talk about the impeachment that is happening in the United States of America. It is an unprecedented impeachment. The Democrats, headed up by Nancy Pelosi, sought to impeach and remove the president since day one when he was elected. And their false accusations against the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who won in a landslide in 2016, ended up in an acquittal. Well, she's at it again, and this is unprecedented, wasting more billions of U.S. tax dollars and time while Americans are hurting and wanting to get out of their homes and get back to work and to their jobs and to sustain their lifestyles and their living. But that isn't her priority. When she sent Americans the crumbs while sending billions and billions and redistributing our American wealth to foreign enemy nations, well, in America, she sent $5 per day to the American people, which is poverty level, beyond poverty level, for the last 4 months, while she and McConnell refused to send $2,000 to every American who is hurting. People are losing their homes, their jobs. and they're struggling to feed their families and sustain their lifestyle and pay their bills. But these people are extremely wealthy. They've been in office far too long. There's no term limits. They have been living off the taxpayers for life, 25 to 50 plus years, and they refuse to enact term limits, and they're there until they die, and then they take a pension from the taxpayers despite the wealth they somehow accumulated while in public office. So it's going to be very, very interesting because the impeachment is unprecedented. No president in the United States of America has endured going through two impeachments and one and after acquittal and then another 7 days before he declared that he would peacefully transition out of the Oval Office. So there is no need for this impeachment that is unprecedented. There is no case precedent for it to take it on to the Supreme Court. So it's actually a waste of America's time and dime. But the reality of it is that she wants to make sure that President Trump does not run in 2024 or in the future and does not have Secret Service protection and all the benefits that Obama and Clinton's and past presidents of the United States have been received after they leave office. This appears to be more of a vendetta than a impeachment based on any wrongdoing. That's my opinion. I believe it's going to die out after the 7 days, no matter which way they go, because there is no precedent for it. There is no case precedent for it. And it's a disgrace that they would do this to a president of the United States 7 days before he leaves office. And on that note, we'll discuss more about the impeachment when we enter into the world of politics in the second half of our show. But right now, we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And we have an intriguing guest today and a topic that most people have never thought about. And he's going to bring it to our attention. And as soon as we come back from this important message, we will give you a little more information about our guest. And then we will introduce you to our guest so he can tell us about himself and why he wrote this wonderful book. We'll be back in just a minute, so don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts with our special guest, Bert Sarkanen. And Bert Sarkanen is an entrepreneur. He understands the nuances in personality types, such as thinkers who tend to go to function before form, the way people talk, the vernacular they use, and can say a lot, he says, about their real taste. Through a trial by fire, Bert Sarkanen built his and dialed in the best people to take the vision of his company to the next level, which everyone hopes to do if they are entrepreneurs. As the company gained more traction and employees took more ownership, Bert became a visionary and a leader, teaching the craft of timber framing to others, as well as instilling in them years of expertise as an ally to help them succeed. Today, Bert Sarkanon is not only the founder of Arrow Timber, he is the author of The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing, releasing as a second edition January 2021, hot off the press. The book is a guide for the people who want to explore timber framing and for those who enjoy the unique aesthetics it offers, architecture and home building. It is a look into the amazing world of timber framing, and it makes for a beautiful coffee table book. So why don't we get started, and let's say hello and welcome Bert Sarkanon to Colombo Chronicles Live. Hi, Bert. How are you doing today?
Well, hi, Rose. Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome, because this is not a topic we usually think about, hybrid timber framing.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't you tell us why you decided to write a book on hybrid timber framing and why you decided to get into this business?
Okay, you bet. And I was listening early on when you followed up with your last segment. And if you were to go back to our founding fathers when they wrote the Constitution and the times then, the houses they lived in back in those days were probably built using timber framing. And so timber framing is an age-old craft that is for thousands of years old, and when nails were not available, it was mortise and tenon and wooden pegs. And so that's kind of the history of it. And then when you fast forward to today, we're taking kind of the cool stuff that our forefathers did, and we're mixing it with modern building techniques so people can get expressive and artistic using exposed beams to build with current. And so that's kind of what it is. And then how did I get started? I've been the son of a carpenter, so from an early age I was wandering around job sites, and I remember hitting my thumb with a hammer at about 4 or 5 years old, getting pop on the way home from the job sites. Those kind of fun memories. I kind of absorbed it and moved into framing as this 2x4 stud wall framing and such, under the tutelage of my father. And I was given the opportunity after high school to either accept a higher wage or learn faster. I chose to learn faster because learning is just really fun, and it really feels like you're moving forward. And so I was doing that for 3 years with my father, and then eventually started my own framing company and was introduced to timber framing by a client. He says, "Hey, Bert, would you put some beams together here for me?" He started talking about the pegs and the mortise and tenon, and I said, "Well, let me think about it." And I went to the library and checked out some books on it and fell in love with the craft. And then from
there...
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that you took the time and made the effort to go actually follow up and study it in the library, because most people would have just forgotten about it pretty much. But that was your effort and your calling, apparently. So I noticed that you said it can be personalized art. So what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So really, in the book that we wrote with the second edition, one of the reasons that we did write the book is to inform people of the nuanced style and look and feel they can get with beams. And so one of the questions we would ask, and I'll just ask you here, Rose, if you were going to build a new home or remodel the home where you're at, and without really thinking too much about it, just kind of think as an overall look and feel with in a number between 1 and 10, with 10 being a rustic log cabin with, say, like deer antlers and maybe a rusty musket on the wall, and 1 being a modern hospital with sleek tile floors and lots of glass, big spaces, So what number would you choose out of that 1 to 10?
Well, I would definitely go towards the log cabin.
Okay.
It's warm and cozy, and there's more of a home atmosphere where you could be warm and comfortable in it.
Okay, perfect. So for you, we would probably be looking at, of the seven styles, you would be looking at rustic, of course, is one of them. Craftsman is another. Classic is a blend that has both rustic and elegant. Those would probably be the three styles that I would say you would use to personalize your home and make it yours using exposed beams. And it works with both the profile and the sizing of the timbers, as well as the volume and so forth. For example, a craftsman home will have lower ceilings. A lodge, we might have higher ceilings with, you know, loftier spaces. But does that give you an example of some personalization tweaks that people might employ?
Yes, and I think that the open beams are actually very beautiful, and I like the high ceilings, and I like the warmth of the wood. And so I think there's a lot of people that do like that idea. And I think, you know, there's so much cement out there that I think warmth brings wood brings a feeling of warmth into a home. And that's why people also tend to go with wood floors as well if they can afford them.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty expensive. But so how can one discover unknown aspects of their personality by their preferences in style and design? So is that part of the quiz you just gave me? Is that how I would learn my personality then towards what I like as a person?
Yes, that question is captured in our book. It's not quite as prominent. Then there's a workbook where you really work with that question. There is an actual online quiz where you choose from random words. And, for example, you might have one that says rugged. You might have another word that says clean, another word that says straight. And you choose from this list of random words and submit your results. And we go through and see where your results fall in the categories. And and so that gives us another look at what you might be trying to convey when you show us pictures and so forth. So pictures, as they say, is worth 1,000 words, which is correct. But the problem is that we've been shown pictures where they love this picture and they show it to us, but they don't know it, but the stone was actually what they liked most about that picture. And so we get a little bit of a red herring when we look at the beams and look at that beam style. And so with this style quiz and the questions we ask in our brainstorm, we're really looking at what is going to make this person really delighted for the long term. And what their personality is, somebody that is a little more flowery and expressive and maybe has a long, sticky gaze when they look at you, they might like something that's more elegant and soft. Somebody that's very clipped and punctual and let's get down to business, well, they may be, you know, more angular and craftsman and efficient. So a lot of little threads you can pull on, but... And then in conjunction with pictures, then we can really get to where people want to go faster.
Yeah, well, this is really a personal project because you actually are taking the wants of your clients and the needs of your client really to heart and putting their dream together in, which most people don't do. You just get what you get. But I like that idea where you're more personal with making sure the customer is happy. So can you share us any stories or examples of how you help the couple discover their vision or their dream on their projects?
Sure. It was quite a few years ago. I remember a couple came in. and they had their plans drawn up, and they had, with the architect, had chosen a scissor truss, which is kind of angular, and it's a unique style, and they had this drawn in. And I had them do the quiz and ask some questions during the brainstorm, and gathered the information, and we kind of got marching orders from them. And as we were going through the 3D model, everything we do is modeled up in 3D because the timbers, you really got to understand their impact. And the only way to do that is with a 3D model. So we were working through this 3D model, and something really wasn't quite feeling right. And, I was talking to my helper there, and, hey, we just got to try. These people, we got to give them an option with curves. I mean, look at all their choices here and what they've said in the brainstorm. And so we did. We gave them an option with curved trusses, and they came back and for the big reveal, and we showed them what they wanted. And then we said, oh, by the way, we have another option that just after hearing you talk and whatnot, we figured that, this may be something you'd be interested in. And we showed them that, and they're, kind of squeals of delight and that sort of thing. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And so what types of customers do you actually draw to someone who wants open beam ceilings?
So, Rose, we've written an article quite a while ago, and it actually ties in with something you said earlier about people wanting wood floors and the excessive concrete used and so forth. Title of the article is, Are You More Stable Because You Like Wood? And it kind of waxes a little bit poetic and a little bit tongue-in-cheek on how wood has been used for so long for dwelling, for security, for shelter, that we associate love, acceptance, some of these big needs with wood. And so it kind of is baked into our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one reason we think that, wood and architecture and whatnot, it kind of waxes and wanes, but never really goes away. It's just kind of that part of that warm, homey feel that just is home.
So what about, where do you get your wood, and are there specific types of trees or that you chop down, and are the trees replaced? How does all that work?
So wood, of course, is... There's a book out. It's called The New Carbon Architecture, and skyscrapers now are using wood. And one of the reasons that it's very much in favor for green building is it is a big carbon sink.
Oh.
And so they're using cross laminated timbers is what they call them for tall buildings, apartment buildings and skyscrapers. They haven't got past 14 levels yet, but it's really a big thing as far as renewable resources. The species of wood that is most used is Doug fir. It ships all around the world. It grows on the West Coast, and it's a little bit like if you were optimizing a vehicle for. You got speed on one end, you've got, hauling capacity on the other, and all of the things in between. And then you kind of optimize for just general purpose. Mm-hmm. Doug fir is that wood. There's some weaknesses that the biggest weakness it has is that strength perpendicular to grain is about half of what it is parallel to grain. But the other benefits outweigh it so much that it's really a highly used wood. We've used cedar. We've used redwood, sequoia, oak, Port Orford cedar, a lot of different species, but predominantly Doug fir is a premium wood that is readily available and doesn't cost too much. And
so do you have to work with like the guys that cut down the timber and then the shipping and the, you know, mm-hmm. and pre-order it and all of that. And is that so all that would take time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they have
mm-hmm.
Or do you have warehouses where you store the wood?
Well, see, so we're pretty close to nature in that we've got a sawmill. We've got a network of loggers in a 50-mile radius. And when they get the good logs, they know what we're looking for. They'll call us up and say, hey, we've got some big ones, you know, blah, blah, blah. No spangle, no big knots, no big sweep. All the qualities that we're looking for in good wood. And so
mm-hmm.
that network functions pretty well, and then we cut it up special order to our, so we're kind of controlling it. And it was a big learning curve to take that step rather than buying from a warehouse, as you alluded to. And sometimes we will if we've got special wood that is going to be too hard for us to get. But in general, controlling that and being able to cut the big sizes has been a real asset, and especially so right now with the lumber prices going way, way up like they have. The reason they're going up, they've doubled or almost tripled in the past 8 months because of all the forest fires and whatnot. Mills are having trouble. The mills are having trouble. Then we can pass those savings on to our clients.
Wow, that's so true. That's an important point you just made with all the acres and acres and acres of fires that burn down the trees. Absolutely, it's affecting the cost. And so then you have to raise the cost to the customer naturally. So
mm-hmm.
Do you have different grades of wood? Do you grade the wood or not? Is there like, you know, grade one, grade two?
Mm-hmm. It goes select structural, number one, number two, and number three. And most of the wood used in building is number two. Number three is used in like, the wood that'll sit on top of the concrete, where it's just pressure treated and is there to just build off of.
Mm-hmm.
So we're predominantly, most of what we mill up is select structural. Occasionally we get a number one or number two in the mix, but very rarely.
Do you stain the wood, or is it just natural when you install it?
The staining is recommended. Some people like to let it go gray.
Mm-hmm.
And wood does, if you do just let wood gray, it produces its own preservative in a way. That outer layer, and in many ways, functions better than the stains and whatnot we put on it. But there is issues of getting black streaks from molding without that, and particularly like a warm brown, or they like to enhance the reds and the oranges of Doug fir, or maybe they want, you know, even some gray. We've seen white for different styles, say like for a Cape Cod or for a modern style. See like a semi-transparent white. It's still a stain, but it softens the whole look and feel and makes it more elegant. So stain is a tool to use for personalization and preservation.
So do you supply this and for all states or just specific states and areas?
Well, So we've got out of 50 states, I don't know how many more we got to go, maybe 40. We've probably got, you know, we ship to different states, but we've got a ways to go to get all 50 states. But yeah, it's pretty easy to ship our piece, just the post and beam package, to different builders around the country.
Oh, okay. And so do you get a lot of construction companies who sell wood floors specifically that seek out those logs for their customers too, because it would seem like you would work with them.
You know, it would seem that way. We don't. It's the wood that they're using is from a mill from a commercial mill where they've got computerized and stuff, and it's once the log goes in, it's hardly touched by human hands. It just runs through this big, big mill. And those mills are incredibly sophisticated. Great minds have put a lot of time in figuring out how to optimize the wood and saw it in the most efficient manner. And those mills cut maybe 5,000 times faster than we do. I mean, it's just astounding what they put out in a day. We're working with the big log and the big chunk, and it has to be set just so. Some of our beams can be 10 inches wide, 12 inches wide by 24 tall, and they've been bigger. But
that takes
some good selection to make sure that we're taking it out of the right part of the tree. And it's really slow. So for what the pieces that we cut off then, once we do that, no mill wants to touch those side cuts. That's usually sold for firewood.
I see. So what do you mean by daddy long legs?
That is a daddy long leg is a term that came out of so many designs that come to us with, well, I want to be gentle on the designers and architects that produce these out of balance timber frames or post and beam designs, is that they really, by the time the architect or designer and client get to where the floor plan and the elevations and all the doors and kitchen layouts and everything is done, they rarely have energy to really treat the timbers with what they deserve, because they are going to have a big impact. And so they'll put in a placeholder. The engineer will engineer up just what is required, which is what they're trained to do in school. And nobody really steps back and takes a look at the big picture, that how is this fitting with context? How is this fitting with style? And one of the big mistakes that we see is posts that are just simply too skinny. And so it looks like, you know, the whole entry is Miss Leg Day, or like it's a daddy long leg structure, just lots of mass up top and skinny little posts coming down. It's a balance problem.
So what about this quarantine and the lockdowns that Americans are suffering today? You know, is it hurting your business or helping the timber business?
You know, we've been fortunate in that we have a sawmill. So in our state of Washington, we never were shut down because we're part of forestry. And, you know, we've kind of had a big backlog and kept chugging. And the quarantine, I think, helps people want to improve where they're living. So I think there's a lot more remodel projects out there. And then, you know, you mentioned you were talking earlier about politics. And the rioting that was going on earlier this summer, it scared a lot of people. And so people want to move out of the cities, or a certain faction of people who maybe can afford it and whatnot, want to move out of the cities and into the country, which is driving up building demand also.
Yeah, so the reason I asked that is because there are businesses that are super hurting, and especially restaurants and bars and salons. And then there are businesses that we don't really think about, such as yours, and people are thriving. And so it appears to me that part of this is a lot of change and lifestyle and thinking about, you know, our homes more and how we want to live. And like you said, you take the time with people, your customers' personality, you give them a quiz, you want to make sure their dream project comes through and that they get exactly what they want so they'll be happy. And I think that is very, very important, that a point, because we don't get very good customer service anymore, if any. So I'm very pleased to hear that, because one of my big complaints in this country now is the customer service that we had before, and we were known for excellent customer service, is disappearing. And it's like do it yourself and figure it out yourself. So the art of hybrid timber framing is the second edition, and hot off the press, January 2021, and it's a guide for people who want to explore timber framing and for those who enjoy the unique aesthetics it offers in architecture and home building. And Bert Sarkinen is the guide, the go-to guy now. So, Bert, I really want to thank you for being on our show, and
okay.
I want to give you time to share any message you have for people looking for high beams and wood beams,
mm-hmm.
and also how to contact you and how to buy your book or any website.
Okay, sure. Okay, well, the easy stuff first. Arrowtimber.com, if you search arrowtimber.com, that'll pop up as a website. A pretty deep site there for information. We've gotten a lot of people that really gave us good feedback. For getting the book, the easiest is simply to go to Amazon and type in The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing. Even if you get it close, it'll pop up, and just get the second edition. And the last message that I would leave people with, anyone who's considering a building or remodeling project where they intend to use exposed beams to influence how it looks and feels, that this book is for them. There's a lot of tips and there's some technical stuff in this book, but it really is about getting things right. And especially for people, the owners, section one, chapters 1 through 5, talks about the responsibilities the owners have as the visionaries of their project. Because they're going to have a myriad of decisions, the big ones being who they hire and kind of the big picture painting with a broad brush of what they want to achieve. And the reason that part popped into existence in the first place is we see so many people, and I've done this multiple times myself, start to move forward on a project, a goal, or whatever it is, and then realize that, oops, I guess I don't really know what I want. And that knowing what you want and who you should hire that's going to put a smile on your teeth rather than make you mad and foaming at the mouth, important stuff. That would be my message. Know yourself and know why you want to get to your goal. Chapters 1 through 5 has some cool, quick tips to get you some insight on that and make it a good experience.
Thank you so much, Ben Sarkinen, and thank you for enlightening us and empowering us on the new wave that is coming back, which is the high beam timbers and the high ceilings, which I personally like, and for sharing your book, Art of Hybrid Timber Framing, with us. Find it on Amazon. And take care, and we'll hopefully talk to you in the future. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Rose, and a big thanks to your listeners as well.
You're welcome. Have a great new year. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And Ben Sarkinen has left the building, and you can find his book on Amazon, The Art of Hybrid Timber Framing. Second edition, and it's hot off the press, so get yourself a copy now. And on that note, we're going to come back and we're going to enter into the world of politics and talk about this unprecedented impeachment of the greatest president, in my opinion, of our time, who brought back jobs from China and made the Democrats very unhappy. So we'll be back in just a minute. And don't touch that dial.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose Colombo here for you, God willing. Heaven only knows. I think the Democrats want to take us away to camps so we can be reprogrammed along with our children. I'm too old to be reprogrammed, so I guess I don't know what they're going to do with me. I'm just a rose and a thorn in their side. So on that note, I'm going to welcome Rob Raskin. And hello, Rob. How are you doing today with this impeachment? Are you tracking it?
Hi, Rose. I've been watching the news in the corner of my screen as I work, but I'm not overly concerned about it. It's really, I think, a non-issue and a last desperate ploy by the enemy within to try to discredit our president to the largest extent possible. And so people that hate Trump are going to be all for it, which is the minority, and people that love Trump are going to be against it, which is the majority. And the bottom line is that it's pretty meaningless, so I'm not too concerned about it.
Well, this is my take on it, if you care to listen.
Absolutely.
I see this as an unprecedented step by Nancy Pelosi, who we all know hates, either she hates the president or because she's acting like a scorned woman, with a vendetta against the president. But I believe that she fears him and fears what he knows about her and the key Democrats who have made themselves very wealthy, like the Bidens and the Clintons and Kerrys and so forth, as they have made deals with, secret deals, with foreign enemy nations, the Obamas and all that. It's not, I mean, you have to be an ostrich with your head in the sand not to know how they got so rich and why they hate President Trump, who wants to make America first and great. They don't want that. They want to usher in a new world order, in my opinion, with only one process of thought, because in China they have the thought law, you know, where they can accuse you of thinking about something and arrest you and take you away to either execute you or put you in a reprogramming facility. But I think not only is it an unprecedented case in the United States of America, I don't think the Supreme Court would take it up because it is unprecedented. The president declared that he wanted a peaceful walk to the Capitol. There are videos of Antifa getting off of buses from witnesses and seeing the state troopers escorting them towards the Capitol. There's a video of a trooper who opened the gate. And then there's a representative, an elderly representative, I think he's a Democrat, who was speaking to the press and said that Antifa, specifically said Antifa and special forces forced their way into Pelosi's office and special forces took the laptop, her laptop. And so I think it's unprecedented, and it's an unprecedented case that the Supreme Court would not take it up because the president is out of office and he declared he would leave with a peaceful transition. So there's no need for this unnecessary, costly second impeachment other than Nancy Pelosi's obsession with bullying and harassing and threatening, physically threatening the President of the United States to pull him out of the White House by his hair, along with her squad who have been threatening to impeach him and called him an MF and a criminal and a Nazi and a racist. And they were never removed but supported by Pelosi and Booker and Harris and Biden, all threatening to physically harm him or verbally remove him from office. And so I see this as meaningless as well, but also I see it as very serious and historical, because never in the history of the United States has a president been impeached and then acquitted based on all their false accusations and their harassment 24/7, 365 days a year for the past 4 years, to cause him physical, emotional, and financial distress, to threaten to put him in jail. I have never seen anything in the history of the United States of such an inhumane treatment, not just even if he wasn't the president, but of a president of the United States. We hear about these things over in foreign third world nations. We are now looking at America, who has been changed and transformed since Arkansas days, into a nation of ignoring pedophilia, open borders, illegal trafficking, unidentified foreigners from third world nations, mainly males, healthy males, coming and invited into our country, put on welfare, food stamps, Obamacare, and forcing the American people to do so. And then allowing them to train up in camps with weapons, and then turning around and allowing them to steal our land and call it no-go zones. Then Obama and the Democrats telling us we are not to offend them with our words. That was the beginning of silencing us and protecting the Trojan horse they brought into our country. And then Soros creating Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Marxists, and training them up and paying them and brainwashing them as Marxists and as an army to come against the United States, committing anarchy and insurrection, and the entire DOJ under William Barr and formerly Comey, the FBI, ignoring all the scandals, ignoring the insurrection and the funding by Soros and the Democrats of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, who not only committed insurrection but killed police, killed civilians, killed a baby, and injured many, and destroyed property, police stations, courthouses, and government property, and everybody turned the other way. And even today, while they're attempting to impeach the President of the United States for insurrection, he called for a peaceful march. He never called for violence. And he also declared he would make a peaceful transition in 7 days out of the Oval Office. He has been the most bullied, harassed, hated by the left and the rhinos, President of the United States, whose only goal was to make America great, bring jobs back from China, who have stated they influence the old-time Democrats, basically, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, the Wall Street, Soros, Gates, Fauci, all in bed, Big Pharma, CDC, who making tons of money off of China using slave labor, and their families selling out information and selling out U.S. companies, calling it outsourcing and globalists. But that, to me, was treason, and it's been going on since 1993. But further back than that, those like George H.W. Bush, who actually pledged his allegiance to the New World Order and was not removed from the Oval Office for that, because you cannot have two masters. You cannot be loyal to the New World Order that is anti-American, anti-God, anti-capitalism, anti-free enterprise, anti-free speech, like the same as the CCP and Hitler. Still be loyal to the United States Constitution and uphold it, defend it, preserve it, which President Trump was doing. So it was not in accordance with the New World Order's agendas to lock us down, destroy the middle class, destroy the family, remove Christians and Jews and God and Bibles and then remove and make the Constitution and the Bill of Rights meaningless by fear-mongering with their pre-planned pandemic, which is in an executive order starting with G.H.W. Bush, passed to the Clintons and George W. Bush and the Obamas. And in it, it stated that there was a pandemic coming, a pandemic, and that they would call out curfews and quarantines and patrols on the street, knock your doors down, take your guns, and if you don't comply, and I guess the vaccine was not in that, that I didn't read anything about vaccine, but I would include that now, the mandated vaccine, then if you don't comply, then they will take you to government, and they called us right-wing extremists to government facilities to be reprogrammed. So this is not something that just happened overnight or because of Trump. This is a long time, slow, communist style, KGB style agenda to take down the middle class, to impoverish the middle class by locking down our businesses, destroying our jobs with the help of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, committing insurrection and anarchy in the USA. Nancy Pelosi, Biden, Harris, and Bill Obama, and all the rest of them in support Harris, kneeling down to Marxist Soros-funded organizations when Soros stated that he would destroy the United States dollar and devalue it to make communist China the number one superpower in the world militarily and economically. So anyone who can't connect the dots as to what is happening and why they want President Trump never to get any Secret Service protection appears to be maybe another JFK. Hope not, pray not. And also she wants his pension destroyed. She wants his legacy destroyed. She doesn't want him to be able to come back and run in 2024. She wants to dismantle the Trump supporters, 75 million Americans. And what they don't understand is that 75 million Americans love the United States of America. They love the Constitution. They love secure borders. They love the Bill of Rights. They love U.S. history. They love God. They believe in God. And they will not stand down from believing in God and upholding, defending, and preserving the U.S. Constitution. These seniors and elderly people who sold us out to communist China, to the Ukraine, to Russia, to Iraq, to Iran, to Qatar, to all these foreign enemies, God is watching, and God is the supreme judge of the universe, and God will keep his hand on America, and God can intervene at any moment and an unexpected time and come knocking on their back doors, Rob. I truly believe that.
Well, you're certainly extremely well-informed, Rose, as always. It's a pleasure to listen to you. Let me add just a little bit, because I've got a different perspective that you haven't mentioned. I agree with everything you said, but I have an additional perspective that I'd like to add. And some of the sources come from my website, and I'm not trying to direct anybody to my website because I don't make any money from it. I don't have any dues or donations or anything.
You can
but I
if
did
you want.
Post
I don't
five,
care.
I did post five videos from five different sources under a link that says Biden will never be president. And so I'm going to just encapsulate the information in those videos, and anybody who's interested can go to my website, which is robraskin.com, and click on Biden will never be president. And you'll be able to listen to five separate videos. And then from those five videos, one of them is Simon Parks, for example, who's been around for 11 years. A couple of them are pastors. You can click on that, and then you can go to other articles that are in that string, and you can read to your heart's content. But essentially, when President Trump said there will be a smooth transition on January 20th, he specifically did not mention to Biden, because Biden will never be president. And I want to say that again, just so it's clear to everybody. The last time I was on this show, I said 1,000% Trump will continue, and I meant it, and I still mean it today. So what's happening is that everything that you've said is 100% accurate. The problem is that they got, when I say they, I mean the deep state, got to be so arrogant that they forgot that they were being watched by their own NSA. And military intelligence infiltrated that NSA, and they have every single piece of information that every single person has done against our country. And so they recruited President Trump. Military intelligence was ready to do a military coup to remove Obama because they knew that he was a domestic enemy. But they went to President Trump when he was just a civilian and said, we need for you to run for president, because instead of doing a military intervention, if you are president and we have 4 years to put everything together, we will be able to arrest everybody and shut the deep state down. The reason why they all hate Donald Trump is not because he's a New Yorker or because he's got a wise guy sense of humor or sometimes he speaks out of line. It's because he is taking down the deep state. And specifically what I mean by that is that Ulysses S. Grant was the last American president under the government that was created by our founding fathers. In 1871, the United States of America incorporated, took over, and since then, every president that has worked to be quote-unquote president was really the CEO of USA Incorporated working under the deep state. President Trump is taking that corporation down. It will be closed on January 20th. So when President Trump is inaugurated, he will be inaugurated as the 19th president under our original government that was set up by our founding fathers. Right now, there is a very well-planned, tight-lipped military intelligence operation, and I really have to tip my hat to these guys because there's been virtually no leaks, and they've been very quietly putting their pieces in place. They've got approximately 10,000 troops, I believe. Actually, I think 15,000 are slated to be in D.C. if needed. And the reason why they're there is not for a Biden inauguration, because MAGA people are not going back again to D.C. And storming the Capitol. We never did in the first place. So they don't
need to storm the Capitol.
Right. So they don't need to protect themselves from us. Those troops are there to make sure that every single person that committed treason is arrested. I'm talking about the vote was 93-6 in the Senate. Those 93 people that voted to have Biden, to certify Biden to be the president-elect, every single one of those committed treason. And the reason why they committed treason is because on Christmas, December 25th, every single senator and congressman was given the report from Ratcliffe, the National Intelligence Report, that clearly showed that there was fraud in the election and that Biden could not be certified without further information. And yet, 93-6, the Senate voted to accept those results. Every single one of those 93 senators committed treason on national television. And the same thing with the 211 House representatives that voted. Every single one of those people are going to be arrested within 1 week.
Well, I posted online, Rob. I said immediately, I said, that they must nullify the electoral votes because they Arizona in particular, Arizona violated their state constitutional law, and they have knowledge. They had knowledge that Arizona was in violation of their state constitutional law. So did Arizona, and they went ahead and ignored the law, constitutional law. And so whenever you have knowledge of a violation of a constitutional law, you cannot ignore it, because then you are complicit with the crime.
Exactly. And every single one of them are complicit. And the operation has already begun. It's just so quiet that we don't know yet. But last week there was a blackout in Pakistan. 40% of the country was blacked out. And that was directly associated with a black ops on our part to stop the sale of General Electric's plant that builds airplane engines to China. And that information was actually...
To be sold by Nancy Pelosi, right?
Yes, actually, yes. It came from her laptop. And her laptop, I believe, has also implicated the Antifa break-in in the first place, because that the guy with the horns, Angeli is his last name. I always forget his first name. Starts with a J, maybe Jake. He was the one that was pictured. He had the horns on, and he had the mm-hmm. he had the tattoos and no shirt. He was his picture. Somebody took a picture of him smiling with another gentleman on the steps of the Capitol minutes before he went into the Capitol. And the person that was in the picture with him was Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law, Voss. So there's no question, and from my sources, what they said was that McConnell knew, Pence knew, and Pelosi knew that they were going to be interrupted, and that was going to kill the entire questioning of the votes for the other five, so that after they were done with Arizona, instead of spending the rest of the week or the rest of the following week doing 2-hour debates for every state that was contested, the other people pulled back and didn't contest anything, and they just went through and voted. And so when they did that, every single one of them committed treason. But it goes so much deeper than that, because the deep state, like today, for example, on the dark web, today on the dark web, the biggest website for human trafficking was taken down. And so this is an ongoing, aggressive military op. And we've already seen blackouts in the Vatican in Rome. We've already seen blackouts in, I believe it was in Ontario in Canada. And this is a military operation worldwide. So as we speak, military is being moved into the appropriate positions in the cities where they believe that there's going to be rioting when President Trump turns over the reins on the 20th on a temporary basis, on a smooth transition to a military unit. And according to my sources, that's going to be General Flynn that actually takes over. And so from there, they will sort everything out, meaning the actual counting of the votes and figuring out from there how to hold elections to put people in to play that belong in there, because they're not associated anymore with the deep state. So we're going to be in for 2 weeks. Go ahead.
The Italians, actually, an Italian professor, said that they were arresting people that Obama was working with, Italian, former Italian officials, I believe they were socialists, who were helping to overthrow the elections in favor of Biden. So that's on video all over the world. And then also I just saw this. It says BBC News article stated, Dominion did, however, donate to the Clinton Foundation in 2014 and made a philanthropic commitment to the foundation to donate election technology to poorer countries. The company has also donated to Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's Senate Committee. The rumors about Ms. Pelosi stem from her former chief of staff, Nadeem Alshami being hired by Dominion, but it has also hired staff previously associated with the Republican Party. The accusations of involvement with Dominion have also extended to members of President-elect Biden's transition team. Posts on social media claim Peter Neffinger, who is a volunteer for Mr. Biden's team, is chairman of a subsidiary of Dominion Smartmatic. Mr. Neffinger is chairman of Smartmatic, but it's a competitor, not a subsidiary of Dominion. Also on Smartmatic's own website, Smartmatic has only owned one election company, the U.S. Sequoia Voting Systems. Smartmatic sold the company in 2007 to Sequoia's management team. More than 3 years later, Sequoia was bought by Dominion Voting Systems. Smartmatic has no part in Sequoia's acquisition by Dominion. They testified there were no ties between Smartmatic and Dominion. So there you have it, why McConnell is trying to impeach President Trump. And so we've got McConnell and his wife, whose family is a multimillionaires in the shipping industry in China, which is a huge conflict of interest. And when his wife suddenly stepped down from the Trump administration, McConnell suddenly changed and wanted to impeach President Trump. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it's just a demonstration of how when you shine a light, you know, on the roaches, they scurry. And that's exactly what's happening now. They're scared to death. They don't know what to do. Their entire lives from the time that they killed Kennedy. And that's really what this goes back to, is the assassination of JFK and military intelligence working for all of these years to try to get back to the point of being able to expose the deep state and take them down. And that's why they approached Trump to run. And that's why they've worked for these last 4 years. And that's why we're getting ready to see what we're seeing now. And I've been told that China will rattle its saber by threatening with the nuclear option, but that nobody is concerned about it, and that North Korea is has committed to the United States, to Trump, to stay out of it, as has Russia. So it's not going to be World War III like people think. The television stations, many of them will be taken down, and there may be a period where the internet and the phones are also taken down. And during those times, we will be by the emergency broadcast system, which was set up earlier in the week for the president. If any of the media attempts to block that, they will automatically have their license pulled even ahead of everything that's going to happen to them legally. So we will be kept apprised. And they're saying that they will run everything that's happened, the declassification of all of the information that has been rumored, will be playing three times a day, because it's important for the world to understand exactly what the deep state has done throughout all of these years to keep America in such, to keep the world, not just America, in such a state of turmoil. And it is coming to the end. And there was only one person that was strong enough on the face of this earth, I think, to get that job done, and that was President Trump. So for people that don't understand President Trump, or they're mad at him because of his attitude or disagreements, this is the one man whose presence will result in a much better world when we come out the other side.
Absolutely. And you know what? I was involved in the judicial system and abuse, like General Flynn, only even worse than that. And so I've known of the corruption within the judiciary for a long time. So none of this, none of these, you know, stories of truth and fact that are being hidden from the public, you know, they're shocking, but I understood it because the courts, I mean, if you have no justice, as I wrote in my book, you have nothing. If you don't have a 9 people on the Supreme Court who are there to uphold the Constitution versus political and personal and financial interests, you have nothing. We have no government. And if you have a United States Attorney General alleged to be have worked in the past with Dominion and received millions of dollars in wages, and then presses the information on the Bidens, I mean, without the Department of Justice, without the SCOTUS upholding, defending, protecting, preserving the U.S. Constitution, not just for real criminals or terrorists or illegals in our country, but suppressing it to protect those involved in corruption to destroy the United States, we have no government.
And that's exactly right. We don't have a government. What we have is a Chinese Communist Party controlled takeover, and the military is very clearly aware of it. Trump is very clearly aware of it, and they said that when the tribunals start, the military tribunals start, that they will also be televised so that the whole world will be able to see, first of all the declassification of exactly what they've done, and secondly, the military tribunals, the actual trials themselves. So what's happening now can't
be
stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, and we should be able to watch them.
Yeah.
Right?
And the deep state at this point, you know, that's why they hate Trump so badly. That's why they're going after him so badly. One of them actually, one of the that I listened to from, I believe it was Simon Parks, who spoke to somebody who was extremely high up in with knowledge, said that the top of the globalists have said it's either him or us. So in other words, here's people that have run the world and have all of this power and all of this money, and they're on the verge of having all of their assets seized and being arrested and tried, and they're beside themselves. And it's all because of Trump coming into power, them underestimating him, them not realizing that military intelligence was behind him, having no idea what an enormous operation has been ongoing behind the scenes. And only now, it's such a well put together operation that there's still only very, very few little pieces of information coming out, to where most Americans are resigned to the fact that there's going to be a President Biden, and there will never be a President Biden. When President Trump said, "I'm going to make a smooth transition," he meant it, but not to Biden. He will never concede, because he will continue, and he will never make a smooth transition to Biden, because there will never be a Biden presidency. And so that's what I wanted to come on today, to give people a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith, because most people are very despondent at this point that they're coming after us and we have to arm ourselves. And we do need to definitely look out for our own safety and our own protection, and make sure that we have water and food. And if you have radios, to be able to communicate with other fellow patriots and family, in case the communications go down, those are all important things. But what we don't need to do is to go out there as a militia and fight, because the National Guard and the military are being brought in, and they're armed, and there will be the Insurrection Act executed if it hasn't been already. My information is that it was signed last Saturday night. And so we won't need to fight. We'll just need to stay out of the way and keep ourselves safe, because when martial law is announced, the police have no authority at that point. So there will be people that are looking to cause trouble, people that have no supplies that say, "Oh, your house looks nice, maybe I'll come to your house to get supplies," etc. So we do need to defend ourselves, and there is going to be a rocky period. But at the end of that period, the deep state will be gone, and the the human trafficking will be gone, and all of the criminals in our country will be gone, and worldwide will all be gone, and the world will be a much better place, and the trillions of dollars in assets that are going to be confiscated will be able to be used to really build a beautiful world where countries now that are poor and that have nothing, there will be projects going on all throughout the world. But the difference is that from the deep state, they were trying to take everything away from the hardworking American people and people in other Western countries to be able to give to these other people. And instead, they're sitting on hundreds of trillions of dollars. So when this happens, all of the money, right?
Oh, right, because that's why I wrote the political satire, Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. And it's the legend of how the Judeo-Christian dinosaur nation was depopulated and suffered extinction. And so it's for all ages, and it's on Amazon, and it's an award-winning book. That's exactly why I wrote it, because it's all about the redistribution of America's wealth to them,
right,
the deep state, so that they can control the world and usher in this tyrannical dictatorship and take us away to camps or worse and euthanize us or whatever, you know, if you're elderly in the hospital, sick, chronically ill, just like Hitler did. And so I did it in a fictional Orwellian fictional adventure story, so it's enjoyable as well, but it is it's the ending is provocative on whether the nation America basically was made extinct, the American people, or were they depopulated? So if they want to get that book, Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals Award winner, Irwin Award winner, you can get it on Amazon.com. And I really want to thank you for your input, Rob Raskin, and all your information you just shared, and the hope and encouragement for Americans to know that things, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. They just have to, you know, stay strong and pray and stay on course and be peaceful and let the forces that be and God take control, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Thank you for having me on. And for anybody who wants the sources of my information, it's they're on robraskin.com under the link that says Biden will never be president. And so let's just keep the faith and not worry, because the military intelligence will never let Joe Biden be president. So get that out of your head.
I will do that. God bless you,
Alrighty.
Rob, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And Rob Raskin has left the building, and I have to leave the building. But I want to say God bless you. God bless President Trump, and pray for all of our enemies who have come against us to see the light, because and to repent from all the damage they've done to the greatest nation on earth, one nation under God. And as they try to remove God, the more they try, the more they will fail. So hopefully they come to their senses, because that is an insurrection against God, Christians, and the Bible, Jesus Christ, and our one nation under God. We are a nation that has a Christian foundation, and we are strong because of our Christian foundation, and they cannot destroy God or our Christian foundation, even though they believe they can. They cannot. That's why they're scared. That's why they're trying to impeach President Trump so that he can never, ever come back and run for president in 2024. But I don't think in my heart, mind, and soul that he will have to do that. I think that there will be a peaceful transition and that President Trump will remain in office. So God bless you, and stay safe and stay healthy. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.